Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey Guardians, welcome to episode 69 of Fireteam Chat, and I am here in LA with Datto.
Hello.
What's up, Datto? How you doing?
Good, good. Nice of you guys to invite me down. This is nice.
Yeah, down here.
Nice set.
Yeah, in our LA studio. I was visiting, and as it may happen, one of the biggest people out there in the Destiny community. He's so humble. Look at him. But if you don't know Datto, Datto does Destiny on YouTube. Check him out. But I did want to start with that. Tell us, what is your specialty in this world? You know, some people focus on lore. Someone like Luminosity is just in trials all the time. What do you do in this part of the galaxy?
So I like to take a really technical approach to things. You know, I'm big on like theory crafting and numbers and trying to figure out, you know, what are the best things to do and just generally, you know, give people advice. What's the best this? How do I do this? What's the most efficient way to do this? And, you know, just otherwise provide perspectives that maybe not other people are giving.
Yep. Yeah, what I've noticed about a lot of your coverage is, like, especially when it comes to quests, when it comes to PvE-type roles and recommending, like, what's good for you, you do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. What about in the multiplayer Crucible world? Do you do much there?
I don't do a whole lot, mainly because there's so many other people who already do it much better than I do and who are much better players, and I'm like, They're already really good, so if people want stuff, they can go to them.
Right. Well, that's what's great about the community is everybody has their specialty, and you know, obviously with well over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube,
500,000.
Wow, sorry, that was a huge correction that I needed to make. So I was way off.
I was like, should I be home?
That's awesome.
Technically, you were correct.
Yeah. Well, I was. But anyway, that's a great number. So he's way bigger than I even thought. So. Anyway, people love Datto is the point. If you're not already subscribed, I already do. but check them out. So, okay, so we're going to move on to the topics that we have in today's show. We were talking earlier. It has been a little light, but they did release some of the specific patch notes for 2.2.02. So let's just quickly go over what that's going to be. They gave the official language once again for what's going to happen. So this is really just a reminder. So 2.2.02. 02, if I said that right, is the one about melee attacks. So on May 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific time, this is going to get patched.
Right.
And here's what they said specifically about that melee stuff. So they fixed a bug that would start a melee target search from an incorrect position, frequently coming up short and causing the melee to whiff. And then the second piece of this is they're going to adjust the melee strike validation logic and player position networking during melee attacks to improve reliability across the network. That's something that's too smart for me to really understand, and we'll just have to see how it works, I think.
I mean, it's just in layman's terms like, hey, your melee attacks aren't going to stop short anymore.
Yeah.
Or not anymore, but not as often as it might happen now.
Yeah. Did you find that this was a problem for you? Did it
actually
really stand out?
Yeah.
Really?
I was actually doing some PvP for some videos, just for background footage. And there were multiple times where I would go punch as a Titan and it would just stop short or it would just completely miss them. Even though I would go through the animation, I was like, this melee fixes are coming soon.
Yep.
Be more reliable.
I see it happen a lot in the Crucible. I'm a warlock, so thankfully I don't usually have to deal with this as a problem. So they have a ridiculous amount of reach.
Because you can just punch from across the entire map anyway. So.
Let's not change that. last week I was complaining about the shoulder charge, and I got a lot of flack for it. Because I'm not a Titan, which I admitted. I said I'm jealous.
Yeah.
But I hate those one-hit wonders. Mm-hmm. You know, I was never a fan of res sniping. It seems like they've actually tweaked it a bit, that it's not as bad as it was. I understand the skill level to it, but I just hated that, just that lack of control. And I always felt like Titans were like flying across the map and like running me
over. It wasn't as much in year one, but definitely in year two, they've come into their own on just being able to zip across maps.
Yeah. But I do know that it's hard, and I know that I don't play a Titan, so I apologize for if I made it sound that way last week.
Speaking as a Titan, you don't see the other side of shoulder charge where the 17 other times you go to do it, you get shotgunned in the face.
It doesn't work, yeah. I think what it is there's a lot of Titans in matches sometimes, and they're all coming at me doing the same thing, and that's what always has stood out to me. It's like, man. But anyway, that's not what this is about. So they're going to be fixing it. It's actually going to be more effective, I think.
More reliable, Less of that, locking on, but then like nothing happening, or you zipping 20 feet into the air and then coming back down, or something weird like that. I know a lot of people have been complaining about Arc Blade hit registration not being that good, so it should be much more reliable now.
Yeah, and it's not just about Titans. I am curious if this strike validation logic and then the player position networking plays into it, because I will have situations with Warlock where it just doesn't hit at the right time. Mm-hmm. It hits way after, or it just didn't do anything. That's very rare that it doesn't do anything, but I'm curious
that,
how...
That might be more of a latency thing, but...
Yeah, I'm just wondering, does it help with that process in any way, basically?
Hopefully it will, because, I'm a fan of any fixes.
Yes, exactly. So, but it remains to be seen. Next week is when, this releases again. May 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific time, so look forward to that, and we'll have to see how that works. There was a few other smaller fixes, things like in the Nightfall, the ghosts were not properly dropping above your light level.
How many times have they adjusted ghosts in the Nightfall? It's like, first they weren't dropping enough, now they're dropping too much.
Too much.
Then we had to turn it down this,
and
now they're not dropping high enough again, and then we had to turn them down. Like,
I feel the same way where it's like, why is the Nightfall so tricky? Because I feel like the whole community out there is like, just roll a legendary something. Mm-hmm. Armor or gear. That's how I feel. Just roll something, because why not? And, like, is that really going to, like, ruin the game? You know, that's how I feel. How do you feel about the Nightfall? Like, what do you think it should do for you as a one of the pieces of the end game every week?
I mean, it should provide something that can be better for you to use. You know, they made those the loot changes, so, like, loot's dropping more reliably at a higher light, kind of like what it was doing when you were leveling up in the Taken King. You know, you'd equip... Let's say you were 210 light, okay, then you're going to find drops that are like 215, 220. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what they did with the patch. So, I think it fits with what the loot system is striving to do right now. And it's just give me an item. And it's not going to be, you're not going to knock it out of the park every single time. It's RNG.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I get it. You know, it's just like when that clown horn drops. Like, it just, like, it really resonates that, you know what, I did all that hard work, and sometimes it's legitimately hard, depending on how it is. I feel like that's where it's missing, that you walk out of being like, why did I even bother?
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, eventually, like, this was a problem pre-patch as well, just you have people who are, like, 315 light going into the Nightfall, which is a 280 activity, being like, why didn't I get anything good?
Yeah.
Like, you out-leveled it.
That's right. So
you out-level it.
But that's where I think it's really interesting is, like, let's make the Nightfall, I think, it needs to be complementary to the raid. Mm-hmm. Because it does take a fairly significant amount of time, whether it's 20 minutes or 35, whatever it may be. I don't know. I just feel like the rewards should and could be better.
Yeah.
Like, here's a good example. Like, get a significant amount of Vanguard reputation in exchange. Because now, meaning they're dropping really good Vanguard packages, or that's just off the top of my head. But I feel like always with the updates, I play it for the first few weeks, and then like you're done. Mm-hmm. But I would play it. It's just I don't have an incentive to,
So. I mean, it's more of a tradition for me, and they do now award much more reputation than they used to, which is a nice change because it used to reward a whole ton in year one, and then they toned it down, and it was like, well, now I have no reason to run this. But then they turn it back up. It's like, okay, good.
Yeah, and it does. Now. It does give you more reputation. But I mean, sort of significant amount that really makes it worth it. Or something like that. But really, quite honestly, I just want that package drop, and I think that's why I talk about the rep, because I definitely am trying to cash in more bounties and do more things to get the Vanguard drops. And same with Crucible now. You know, I'm always chasing, you know, trying to get a perfect longbow,
right,
whatever it may be,
which
is nice. And I feel like, again, the Nightfall misses on that. Yeah. Anyway, I went off on the Nightfall tangent. That was not on the schedule. Let's move on to our third topic, which is stream-alongs are coming back. They never really left, I would say, but the team, you know, I think they had to get April out the door, do some cleanup, and they're coming back. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming when and, you know, what we think about it. So the first next one to come up is next week, and it's the Artists of Destiny on Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. I heard a really loud sound outside the door, like construction. We both were like, oh, God. So what they say is years of hard work can follow a moment of inspiration. Relive the panel discussion that we hosted at Emerald City Comic Con with the artist who created the original concepts that shaped the development of Worlds, characters, and the weapons in Destiny. I didn't see this one, did you?
No, I didn't see it either.
I remember hearing about it, but I mean, I always love to hear about the art that goes into the world. It's one of those things you don't hear about enough.
Right.
And I feel like we're deep enough into the world. There's a ton to talk about there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I would fire off your questions now to Deej and Erk McGurk and Cosmo and see if you can get in on what their plan is. I don't know if they plan on having the exact same chat as they did at Comic-Con, but we'll see.
Yeah.
The next thing, which I'm very curious to know what you think about it, Datto, is they're doing a raid-along for King's Fall, which is really cool. That is Wednesday, May 18th, the following week. And, you know, they basically just say they're going to face down Oryx, and a designer and a storyteller will provide expert commentary from the safety of a couch, of course. Mm-hmm. So, and they even talk about the lore, maybe, you know, as part of this. So, yeah, what we were talking about it earlier, you seem pretty interested in that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big raid guy. Like, I raided super hardcore in World of Warcraft for probably about 4 or 5 years. So I'm always really, really interested in finding out about design philosophy and like why do certain things a certain way, and just kind of finding out how these things came to be, even just how they like started, because you know something like Golgoroth could have started completely differently and then evolved into what we see now. So that kind of stuff, when they did it with Crota's End, I thought it was cool, and you know this raid is much more mechanically inclined. It's much more like a Vault of Glass where you have those mechanics. And I think mechanically, they did a great job with it. So I'm really wondering, you know, like, what did they do from, like, okay, we did Crota's End, and we wanted to do this, but how are we going to make King's Fall different? Like, what feedback did we get from Crota's End and maybe Vault of Glass, and how could we apply it to King's Fall if they needed to do that?
And I do think that happened. I'm really curious as well if they'll talk about, you know, I always wonder with the challenge modes, you know, how do they come up with that? They probably won't talk about this, but like, why is it just one challenge? You know, why wasn't there more than one challenge?
I could take a guess. I
mean,
I think I remember them saying that they designed the hard mode first and then nerfed it down into normal mode, so that way, you know, they didn't have to make normal fight and then figure out like, okay, we have this. How are we going to make this harder without just like bumping up health bars? But I also think like there might not be as much wiggle room to do those kind of challenges, because once again, they probably didn't start with challenge, they started with hard.
Yeah.
But I don't know for a fact.
I think that's part of it. It's when I remember hearing about challenge mode is coming, I was like, oh, cool, and it's going to be this new weekly or monthly thing, and then everyone's like, no, that's it. So whatever, it's still fine, it's just it doesn't give you as much reason to go back. Like, yeah, I saw you recently went in and did, like, what, all sidearms or something.
Yeah, sidearm Golgoroth.
That must have been fun.
It is fun. It's fun to kind of flip things on their head and just do things from a different perspective and really go nose to the grindstone with stuff like that.
But see, I thought that type of stuff might show up. I mean, that would be pretty demanding.
That would be extreme,
like, for example, what made that? Was that one pretty interesting? Like, how did you get his gaze with the sidearm, for example?
It's really not that bad. I allowed people to use their primary weapon to get his gaze.
Okay.
But I tried to make it so you had to use your sidearm as much as possible, so you could only damage him with the sidearm. You could only kill Thrall in the pit with the sidearm.
Oh,
like,
really?
If you were in that pit, you needed your sidearm.
Could you pull supers?
Yes, okay, supers
so you
were
can storm call the pit
yes,
if you needed
yes.
to.
Without supers, that fight would be pretty difficult, especially with sidearms yeah. only.
Well, somebody now is going to do it on a drum set.
I'm sure without, someone
yeah. will. So that's the next challenge. But anyway, I'd love to hear him talk about challenge mode, but actually specifically on Oryx, I always found it really interesting that nobody did, right? Nobody did the 8-bomb strategy before, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it was pretty rare.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember trying to do like, you know, like the 16 orb thing because I saw it on Reddit once.
Yep.
And early
yeah,
on,
that's what I meant.
It crashed your game.
Really?
Yeah. That wow. that was the problem that me and my group had is that I remember getting to the last part, blowing up the bombs 3 times in a row, and all 3 times someone different crashed. Their game crashed.
I remember something like that happening
yeah.
as well in my group. And then also just that was the time when also the ogre was warping.
Yeah.
Which it was definitely a problem. Like you kind of just wanted to do it stage by, get rid of the bombs one by one because it got pretty precarious.
Right.
If you didn't, basically. But anyway, that is May 18th. I think that one will be really interesting to hear about. And so the last one they're going to do, at least announced so far, is the following Wednesday, May 25th. And they're going to be talking about the Crucible. And
yep.
so they don't say who's going to be on that one, but they just talk about there's going to be some pro tips,
yeah.
creative notes, and like architectural tours on every world in Destiny. So it should be fun.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's stream along schedule. The next topic, I am especially lucky and happy
yes.
to have Datto here for this.
What convenient timing.
the update went live like right as we were recording, right before we were recording this. So
yeah.
the high scores that they always send out for Challenge of the Elders, your number one team is none other than Datto's. Congratulations.
Woo!
Yeah, he was like, we were glancing and he was like, whoa, I won.
Yeah, I completely forgot that they do that in the weekly update. And
there was your name.
I didn't run Prison of Elders this week because I was playing Overwatch and Battleborn. And I totally forgot about the previous week because that's when, you know, this comes
yep.
out. And I was like, oh, my God,
yeah.
we got it.
So let's let's first go over the scores and who got them.
Sure.
And then I want to come back to, like, the strategy because
okay.
this will be really interesting because I actually want to try this, but it's probably a time suck. We'll see. Okay, so number one team, high score. Maybe you just talk about your team real fast. You guys got 79,860 points.
Yep.
Who are the team members, and do you play with them often?
Yes. So these guys are both in my clan math class. Leopard Stealth, very frequent player. Striker, also very frequent player.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were playing all Hunters.
Okay.
But we'll
get
into
that
in a sec.
Cool. So you play with these guys all the time.
Yeah.
In second place, sorry, so close, but really high score, honestly, is Falcons, Reaferman 77, and Rage_Apocalyptic. And in third place, really close, was 66,710, and that was Shanika 830, Sean Bless, and Mighty Minds 1. Congratulations to everyone who made the list. I always check that every week, and I know that without trying, my name's not just going to randomly show up. So, on that note, like when scatter grenades and, sorry, the scatter grenades trick in the replenish and what was it, the one where your grenades actually give you bonus damage 2 weeks ago?
Catapult.
I'm sorry.
Is fast restoration of grenade energy.
That's it.
Yeah.
See, that's a specialty. He knows all these names. But anyway, I thought that was going to be like the highest opportunity. I was chucking scatter grenades like crazy, and they just kept replenishing because
mm-hmm.
I had on the Nothing Manacles. So you got two of those. So anyway, last week was actually really challenging, right? Do you remember what the modifiers were roughly?
Yeah, it was, I know one of them was Trickle. I don't remember the other one. And Trickle made things pretty...
Yeah.
Interesting?
Yeah. Like, basically, your super really didn't... or nothing. All your cooldowns really were slow.
They were super slow. Yeah.
And on top of that, I think you got an overshield or a more shield or something, right? But then it just didn't replenish after that.
Oh, is that was that exposure?
I think exposure might have been on.
Okay.
Anyway, I might have it wrong. Regardless. Yeah. So, it was a hard one. There was nothing mm-hmm. really good about it, as I recall.
Yeah. There was nothing that made it easier.
Yeah. So, what did you guys do to get this high score? How much planning, or did it just happen?
You know, Leopard does like a very early stream on Tuesday to kind of like investigate, you know, what the challenge is that mm-hmm. week, and then he'll come to me, you know, he'll probably text me and be like, okay, here's what we got to do. So, for this week, he discovered that throwing knives awarded precision damage and melee damage bonuses.
Hmm.
So,
oh, yeah.
for every kill that you got with a headshot throwing knife, you would get both point modifiers.
That's right. Melee was the bonus. There was that bonus.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty tough one to use.
Yeah. So throwing knives count, but then that you also get, on top of that, you get the precision kill. So basically, you spec for two throwing knives on Gunslinger. You spec so whenever you got a precision kill with a knife, you would just get it right back. So basically, me and Stryker would go tap everything. We would all be using Monte Carlo because it would restore melee energy whenever you hit something. And then if you killed something, you had a chance to get a full melee charge back. So we would all run around with Monte Carlo. We would tag all the enemies. Then Leopard would go knife, 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 knife. Once all the adds were dead, go to the boss. Everyone would store their melee energy, especially Leopard. And then we would just repeat that process. I believe Stryker and I were both Night Stalkers with just like maximum orb generation, so that we would create orbs, bonus orbs every single wave of enemies.
Yeah,
it starts a little slow, but then ramps up. So you just feed each other orbs nonstop. I get a bow, then he gets a bow, then I get a bow from his bow, and then he gets a bow from my bow that I got from his bow. And
with were you getting the points from the supers? So that was,
yes,
that
so,
was it,
so
yeah.
you would get bonus points for the assists, and then you would get bonus points for creating orbs.
Oh yeah, right, because of all the tether, so you just get a ton of assists.
And plus tether actually deals like a very tiny amount of damage when it tethers something, so I didn't even have to worry about going around and like tagging things. It would just do it automatically for me. So I think that run that we did took about 50 minutes to complete, because you have to. If he loses both of his knives or he misses or something like that, you need to wait for him to get his knife back.
Before going on a killing spree. Again,
right,
basically.
Exactly. So to get his knife energy back, if he ran out, he would just go shoot the boss with his Monte Carlo, get a knife back, and then we would continue the process.
Gotcha. What I've always wondered, having not strived for this high score challenge yet, is, you know, when it says you're taking too much time, is that an absolute no-no, or do you use it to your advantage? Like,
we don't even regard it as being there. Like, it helps to go as quickly as you can, don't get me wrong, but if you're going for a high score, you need to be getting, like, every single kill needs to be of that point modifier for the week plus assists from the other two people in the group.
Yeah.
So if you're not doing that, you're not getting the maximum point value for every enemy, and therefore you're not getting a high score. Whereas the point loss that you suffer from time is really not that much.
Yeah, that's what I
noticed.
Really
not that much.
It seems to me that was it. Is like each wave of enemy is your opportunity to maximize your combos, so to speak.
Right.
And so make sure you're doing that. Obviously, if you can perfect getting through each wave as quickly as possible, but eventually you run out of waves, right?
Right.
And so that's it. So don't worry. It sounds like don't worry too much about that.
Yeah, do what you can. But if you're waiting like 3 minutes for a knife to come back, maybe you just stab one in the face and move on.
Cool. Do you know what the modifiers were for this week? Have you had a chance to look in there yet?
I believe supers gave you the bonus points. I don't know the other two modifiers, though. I haven't had a chance to do Prison of Elders this week.
Do you think you're going to try to go for the high score challenge again? I think you have to.
We might give it a shot over the weekend. I'll see who's around.
All right. Always the Destiny response. I pretty much do the same thing. I mean, at this point, we're clocked so many hours that, it's one of those things. Like, maybe I'll Trials. That's what I do. I'm like, maybe I'll play Trials. Maybe I'll hop in and do Challenge of Elders. We'll see. Okay, let's move on to one of our last topics, hide and seek. So not everybody's heard about this. So some of you out there might be like, what are you talking about, hide and seek? Is that some new mode?
Yeah.
It's not a new mode exactly, but we might all remember going around patrols and saying, let's race. And the next thing you know, racing was a thing. So what it is, I'll let you describe.
Bring back SRL.
Exactly, yeah. We can maybe we'll see if we can squeeze some time in on SRL. But hide and seek is a thing because the HUD you can flip off, so your radar goes away.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk a little bit about what it is and how to play it?
Yeah. So I mean, I played probably about 2 hours with Githalion and T-Rex and like a whole bunch of those guys. And basically, you turn off your HUD, you load into Vault of Glass or just some raid activity where you're actually going to be able to go hide.
Yeah.
You know,
you need a big space.
You need a big space, but you also want to have a lot of people. If you're just doing it with three people, it's just a nightmare.
Yeah.
So we loaded into Vault of Glass. We hid in a spot like around like the big donut of Venus, you know, like not inside, like the
like Ishtar. Outside the door.
Yeah, like outside the door and like the areas, kind of like that that make that big loop that you can do. And when you just hide, you turn off your HUD, and you let the other person try and find you, and it is tough.
Yeah, it sounds like, and this is what happens when you make games up. Is you realize you're like, oh, well, you were saying something to me before that I thought was interesting. You're like, it'd probably be better if you set some different parameters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, wasn't somebody, like, hiding in a tree somewhere? Or, like...
There were some pretty BS hiding spots. And it's just, you know, like, I kind of hid. One of my spots was just kind of, like, hiding in between two rocks with a bush partially covering me, and I put on like a black and green shader.
Oh, you changed your shader. That's so
and,
cool.
And like, I had to give hints because they were just never going to find. Like, they actually searched that area for me, went past me, and then moved on to the next area. I'm like, okay, they're never going to get me if I don't say a better hint for these guys. So it is pretty hard if you're hiding in a lot of these kind of BS spots.
Have you heard of anyone trying to adapt it any more than this yet? Like, these are the main rules you've heard of, right? Like, set a basic parameter, and then maybe you can give some hints, but that's about it so far.
That's really about it. You know, I think start small, and then if you want to go big, go big when you're playing with your friends, because it can be a while to find someone.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, right? Like, don't set it too large of an area. Start, and if you're finding each other too easily, then expand it.
Right.
But don't start really big, because you might actually just find that you're really frustrated playing this thing.
It would be like 20 minutes to find one person.
But if you need something to do, I do think it's interesting. Yeah. What I was thinking about is, like, maybe there's... I forgot how to play this game. It was called Kick the Bucket. You remember? There's, like, this old, like, kids game in a neighborhood where I forget why and how. We'll look up Kick the Bucket.
Okay.
But you had to sort of return to the bucket and do something. But I was thinking, like, in this type of game, maybe there's a way to get, you have to sort of go back to a point as part of the hide and seek, and who's ever last to do it, or I don't know. Throw your grenade in something.
Yeah.
But anyway, maybe come up with some suggestions. How try hide and seek. How could we maybe adapt it? I'd be really interested to check that out.
Yeah.
I remember when... This is a big throwback when Battlefield 1942 came out, or 42, right?
Yeah.
I was like, was it 41 or 42? Because they made 43. Anyway, when it came out, I literally was not playing multiplayer. I was going around with the detonator packs and just blowing up, because like the vehicles would fly across the map, and I was just spending all my time doing that. But I do like that the worlds are big enough, and Destiny has some of that. You can mess around and do some stuff like this, and it's cool that the HUD being able to be turned off, turned into something like this.
Right, so, yeah. Among other things, which I think is nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the HUD's been great for a lot more things.
Great for content creation, great for creativity, allows people to do really, really cool, like, machinima stuff, and it's great.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of good stuff has been coming out. In fact, this week, what was the video? We just saw it. The video of the week, I have it right
it was
here.
Like, What Is Love,
Yeah, that's right. It's the What Is Love parody where they're all, like, bobbing their heads. And so check it out. It's actually a really fun video. But with the HUD off, you can just see, you know, how much nicer
it just looks nicer. It's nice to not have, like, the ammo bar on the bottom left.
Yeah, exactly. So we have only a little more time left. As much as I'd love to talk SRL, I actually, now that I think about it, I know you don't play a ton of... multiplayer, but just in general, I'm a huge Fusion fan.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you are, but number one, Trials this week, Asylum is back. I love Asylum.
Good map.
Yeah, it's on Venus. It's nice and condensed. I think it's actually one of the best Trials maps because you're not down huge sniper lanes from too far from each other.
Right.
But Fusions for me in year one, my Purifier 7 was my like favorite thing ever. And it had like Feeding Frenzy and... Even without, I don't even think it has brace frame or anything, but it was just awesome. It was just like destructive in the raid, you know, like the, it was void, so I was just killing Praetorians and everything. But anyway, I love Fusions. I'm curious, like, do you like Fusions a lot? What do you think of the changes? I'm super excited that they are like back.
Yeah. No, I'd say they're certainly more back than they were in any of year two, because they had that really awful nerf that confused a lot of people there. I remember Bungie was saying, like, in our playtest, like, people were destroying with fusion rifles, so we had to nerf them. I'm like, no one's really ever destroyed with fusion rifles except very early year one.
Yes.
So to have some of that stability finally return to the fusion rifle and make them slightly more viable in PvP is a very nice thing. I was playing around with Plan C. Plan C was one of my favorite weapons in the game.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's significantly more usable now.
Yeah.
So I definitely think they're in a much, much better spot in PvP than they ever were in year two.
Yep. Yeah, I've just always enjoyed them, but absolutely, like, when Taken King came out, I just mostly stopped. It just wasn't a thing. And actually, I used to use, just made me forget the name of it. It's the one that kicks, like, five times in a row.
Pocket Infinity.
Pocket Infinity, jeez. See, I used to use it, like, all the time, but I just don't even touch it because it's still year one. But maybe now that fusions are fixed, maybe they'll think of bringing
it. It's a fun gag weapon, although with all the special ammo changes, it makes those, like Telesto as well, it makes those kind of spammy weapons a little bit harder to do. You got to, like, stockpile a whole bunch and then just blow your load on, like, in, like, three bursts. And then, like, okay, guess I'm not getting any more special ammo in this game.
Yeah, exactly. I do often brag about the rescue mag feature I have on my Ashraven's Flight from Iron Banner, which, like, at first, like, I just liked always having ammo, but it was pretty, you know, plentiful.
Yeah.
But now that they've changed the rules, I've been really fortunate. They did, I think, nerf rescue mag just a tad. Mm-hmm. I forget when, but I feel like I'm not getting it as much as I was, like, several months ago. But anyway, fusions are cool. If you haven't checked them out, go check them out. But obviously,
still kind of tough to use. There's definitely finesse there. You know, you're not going to be running around like with a shotgun or anything like that.
Yeah,
you definitely got to be a little more cautious. But they're much better now. Much better.
Yeah, fusions are generally thought of as there's like they're reactionary, or there's a little bit of premeditated murder, and then there's really like the you're planning way ahead.
Right.
There's those three categories is kind of how they're thought about. I find in general, though, that the reactionary fusions, they'll be fine for PvE or whatever, but they're usually not high enough impact to do enough in the Crucible.
Yeah, usually the faster firing fusion rifles have a bit more kick to them, which makes them a little more unreliable. But then you have the slower firing ones, which are just like a perfect laser, but obviously they take forever to fire, so you got to find that nice balance of like, well, do I want to be more precision with it, or do I want to be more spur of the moment?
Yeah,
and it's a lot of relying on positioning and having good positioning.
Yeah, yeah. I pretty much swear by Ashraven's Flight. If you can get it out of Iron Banner, which now is, you know, you got to wait
just
for that.
Just ended.
Yeah. Yeah, but with Brace Frame is awesome. But you can pick up the one at Future War Cult has Brace Frame. It's a lot like the Thesen, and the Thesen is just a really good gunsmith
Thesen
fusion.
Is a very good fusion.
Yeah. So that shows up in the gunsmith all the time. So just look for it. Sit on it until it gets a Brace Frame roll at least. Ideally, it would come with some other stuff. But even if you get it with Brace Frame, it's really good.
Yeah, so very solid.
So that's basically it for our show, unless there was anything else that you wanted to cover about the latest updates and greatness out there.
No, not particularly.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, we covered a lot on today's show. I do want to, once again, have you tell everybody, where do they find you all around this world of Destiny?
Sure, you can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/DattoDoesDestiny. I do some Twitch streaming, twitch.tv/Datto. And you can find me on Twitter, @DattoDestiny, all one word.
There you go. Well, I'm going to go through our usual rundown of the Fireteam Chat, where to find us. We did just start a YouTube channel, /Fireteam Chat. So check that out. Subscribe to us there. IGN, of course, has its show pages. You can find the podcast out there. Drop a review if you can and are listening. We'd really appreciate that. And get in the comments. I always want to reinforce that. You know, there's too many people that still do that whole, like, people still play this game. Admittedly, we did say that at the beginning of the show, sort of. Like, we didn't say quite that, but it's like, man, we do want more content. It's starting to be a stretch now that we're getting through it. But the point is, like, there's
feeling it,
a lot to do, and it is not a crime to go play a game with your friends, is my point. And I see too much of that in the comments.
Stop liking things I don't like.
Yeah, exactly. It drives me nuts, right, that people have that attitude. So get in the comments, make it yours instead of letting them destroy our space. And that's pretty much it for today's show, which was episode 69. Thank you once again, Datto. And I don't know if you know this, but we do a little outro. You don't have to do it.
Okay.
But we sort of say, until next time, Guardians out.
Okay.
Do you want to give it a try?
Sure.
Some people, like, cringe. They're like, oh, God.
I'll do it.
Let's do it with Datto. Here we go. So until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.